Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Julie Hughes. I am a midwife, a mom of four, and a woman with deep curiosity and reverence for the natural transitions that we go through in our life. This podcast explores the rite of passage known as puberty. We will be diving deep into topics around the changing mind, body, and spirit of girls and their relationships with themselves, their families, and their peers. This podcast is brought to you by the Powerful Puberty Project. PowerfulPuberty.com. All information contained in this podcast is for educational purposes only. Hello and welcome to the podcast. So today I'm going to be talking about sex, talking to kids about sex and sex education in the school systems. So this is a topic that has been on my mind, I guess, a lot lately, partly because it's springtime and I'm back to doing lots of puberty classes live, and also because I have one of my own children is turning 10 soon, and this tends to be the age where I bring a deeper part of the conversation around sex. And really, that conversation literally just happened last night, one of the beginning of the conversation. So it's also a topic that I feel like it just needs to be talked about. So many of us have so much baggage around sex. It comes from personal history, it comes from how we've learned about it, our experience with it, perhaps our religious experience with it, and our idea with it, our own relationship with it, what we've learned culturally about it. There's so many different things that we have in our head around sex and around pleasure. And this is passed on to our kids, right? This is the first that they're hearing about these things. And so I guess first I want to start with, when do you talk to kids about sex? Because that's the question I literally get all of the time. In my puberty classes, I don't teach the young girls that come about sex. I talk about what's going on in their specific bodies, biologically, emotionally, and whatever the heck they want to, and in their brains, and then whatever they want to bring up. And we do play and all of these sorts of things, right? I don't talk about sex because, first of all, I feel like it's a great conversation for parents to have with their kids. I feel like everyone has a different background around it, and so I don't want to impose here in this podcast and or in real life I can go into the biology of sex, right? I could talk about that in the class. I just feel like at 10, if those kids are not knowing, or 9 or 8, like everybody should know the biology, like the basic biology of sex by then. And so I guess let's start there. Okay, so when do you start to talk to your kids around sex? Soon. So as a midwife, my kids grew up with me going to births, talking about where babies came from. And obviously the natural conversation was, how did the babies get in there in the first place? And so from a very young age, I would talk to my kids, you know, even 18 months to 2, not about sex, but about their bodies and that they're in charge of their bodies and that, you know, their bodies are sacred and people have to request access, I guess. I don't use those terms, but to their bodies. It's been a long time since I had one of these conversations. So I'm forgetting the little toddler language, right? But that they're special parts and they're just for them. And we give them the proper names. And then that conversation several years later, probably around 5 or 6, for my kids much younger, because again, I'm a midwife, I'm going out catching babies. And so my kids played birth pool in the living room because we had a birth pool. And so they would, you know, they naturally asked a lot earlier, I think, than most kids. But in my experience, around 5 or 6 is a great conversation. It's a great time to break out a book if you need to, that is very, very basic around how babies are made. using the correct terminology, mom has a vulva, dad has a penis, the penis goes in the vulva, the sperm comes out, it's dad's life force, it goes into mom's body, there is an egg, it goes into the egg, and through that, they combine and create you. Very basic biology, and then just leave it to them. Parents over-explain way too much. They go to so many different places that the kids don't even care or want to know about. Most of the times the kids will be like, oh, sweet, thanks for answering that question. Just like they say, like, you know, what is a comet? And you explain what a comet is, and they're like, sweet, and then they move on. It's the same with sex, that you and I, we put so much more like pressure and significance and angst and all of the things around this conversation. It's really not that big of a deal. It's literally part of life. Sex is part of life. Truly, I'm pretty sure we all know that. Sex is part of life. And so talking about sex should also be part of life. It doesn't have to be that big of a deal. So that conversation is had for me a little early, but around 4, 5, 6. And then I talk to my kids about their bodies all of the time, about all the different things that are going on in their bodies. We have books about their bodies. That is one of them. So they're welcome to look at that book at some point. One of my children of the four was very interested, always wanted to look at the book. And so she did. It was available to her. The next conversation that I have around sex, well, tends to be around 7 or 8. We have that similar conversation again. It's like a reintroduction of the same concept over again. Not much extra, although the kids are in a very different place where the boy-girl thing is coming, even maybe crushes are coming, right? So there's a deepening of like their being able to touch that part of life. Then again around 10, which is why I said I just had this conversation, there is a deepening again of the conversation. I broke out the book and talked to my son again about it. I talked to him then about like what his penis might do. His penis might start, so this is like a puberty talk, might start, he might wake up with it, it might be erect, it might have some sort of semen, right, juice. I think we called it juice. He might leak something and just kind of explain that. And then we also add in to the conversation that it feels good. So we've taken the biology out of sex and then brought in that sex also feels good. It's not something you just do to have a baby. Now, remember this conversation with my daughter. And she, I remember, like it was yesterday, we happened to be in the kitchen because that's where all good conversations happen. And it just came up naturally. And so we had that conversation. She goes, what? You and dad like do that in this house? And we were like, yeah, we do. And she was grossed out and left the room, right? And then the conversation deepens. I've had so many conversations with my daughter around sex and her musings around sex. She's much older now. She's not having sex. She doesn't even ever have had a boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever. But the conversation is always very open in our house. Again, part of life. We treat life very reverently. We treat our bodies very reverently. We would treat what creates life very reverently. So a lot of the conversations with my older kids are about the reverence for sex. That sex is a sacred thing, that you are giving your body and merging with another human. And in fact, that imprint is left. So this, the imprint from the male is left inside the woman's body for many, many years, like scientifically proven. And so we talk about, I don't shame like one night stands or anything like that. I just talk about that it is a sacred thing that you are giving your body to another human and that it does feel really good, so that we all want to engage in the act of sex. And so then the conversation that I open up to my much older children, right, mid to late teens, is what do you think about that? So I've had conversations around one-night stands with my son, who's some of his college friends are doing that. What does he think about it? I'm not there to judge the child. I'm just there to offer guidance, wisdom, and my own thoughts on it so he can kind of feel into what his thoughts are around it, right? I feel like that's where a lot of talk around sex gets hard, is because there are a lot of judgments and constraints and parameters around it. And maybe that's what it looks like in your life. And that's fine. Like, you get to do what you want to do because it's your kiddos. But the point is, you got to be having the conversation, because otherwise they're going to go have the conversation other places and you may not know and you may not like what conversations they're having. At least if you're having them with you, you do know what they're having and you can agree and disagree on those conversations. So for my 10-year-old, the conversations are around, this is what it does. It does make a baby, but it also feels good. And that was a very big help to my 10-year-old, because he is waking up with what I described to him, and it did, and he was like, oh, that's what that is. And he said, oh, and in my dreams it feels really good. And so then he got that, like, it wasn't this weird kind of you know, when you don't know these things that are happening to you and you don't really want to say it out loud, it can be scary. It can be shameful. We can all experience it differently. I don't think anybody's really excited about it. And so it kind of took the load off of him, right? And started many more conversations with him. Now, my 6-year-old, nearly 7-year-old, also happened to be around when this conversation was having. And he made a big joke and thought it was hilarious and has really no context for it, and said some really inappropriate things that, whatever, he's 6. And I don't know, he just was a goofball about it. It's not a normal conversation that he would hear, but it did actually just happen to come up, and so we just kind of went with it. I can't say that it was the best thing that I've ever handled in terms of that conversation. In fact, I said to my husband afterwards, well, that one was a different one. because he was also there experiencing the conversation. But the thing is, if I would have squelched that conversation, there would have been no growth and learning. And again, connection to life, life force, even pleasure as a life force, right? And so if you are not having the conversation, again, the question I get often is, when do I have it? Well, you should be having it soon and you should be having it often. And it doesn't need to feel awkward. It naturally will come up. And if it doesn't, then use the guideposts of around 6, around 9 or 10. And then continuing to have that conversation, especially once you introduce the point of it is pleasurable and it's not just done for babies. You continue that conversation, especially when they're in teen years, because you want to be part of that conversation when and if they do become sexually active. It can be hard, obviously, but, you know, part of parenting a 16, 17, 18-year-old is establishing a very new relationship with them. You have to step into new relationship with them. They are still your child. They always will be your child, but they are no longer needing to be coddled and controlled, and they're needing to be challenged and held boundaries, obviously. But the relationship becomes very different. And if you try to keep it where it's not, where it was the same, where you just control them as if they're a younger kiddo, where you get to make the decisions for them, then they push back a lot, and then you get into issues. So having that open communication, and you might not always agree with them. You know, if my daughter came to me and started having sex at 15, I probably wouldn't be super psyched about that. But, you know, we would have a conversation around it, and we would have a very frank conversation around why she feels ready. We often talk about, I've had conversations with my son about, if you can't talk about it with the person you're going to have it with, if you can't have an actual conversation around when it might happen and why you want to, and Are they ready for it? If you can't have like an adult conversation around it, or whatever, you can throw that word adult. If you can't have a conversation around it, you shouldn't be doing it. If you can't actually put the words out there, you shouldn't be doing it. Because obviously you don't have a grasp of what it is. Your body might feel ready, but maybe you're emotionally, you're not ready. Because if you emotionally can't have a conversation to connect with another person around it, then you shouldn't be doing it. And I have said that. Now, if he goes out and does it, that is up to him, you know? So, and then obviously the sex education conversation around how do you prevent pregnancy and all of those sorts of things. Especially for my daughter, because, you know, she will not be taking the birth control pill. You should check out the episode on that. It was a few episodes ago. And will have to be more in charge of her own fertility. So having that conversation is really important. So the other thing I want to talk about is sex education in schools. And this also is coming from a puberty class. I was told in my last puberty class that the girls, so I know that district to district, state to state, very different curriculum. These people were in the Denver Public School. My daughter and son were in, we homeschool, but at that point, they were both in the Jeffco Public School, and it was a completely different curriculum. I actually pulled my daughter out. And even, honestly, even within that, they went to two different schools for that part of learning. And my daughter's did it very differently than my son's. And I pulled her out. It was a week long. And the stuff they were talking about, I thought was incredibly inappropriate. And because, so let me say why. It was inappropriate because they were talking about sexual predators and, you know, like people that can. Will find you in a parking lot and then they'll steal you and then they'll save you, like sell you into like sexual human trafficking. They were talking about human trafficking in her sexual education course. And so obviously my daughter had already like had the sex talk with me. I teach puberty classes. She knows all about her body. I had actually didn't want to do it. I told her she had to do it because it was like part of the friends and I don't know what I was thinking. But when she came home and she was crying and she literally didn't even want to go into her bedroom because she was afraid someone was going to come in her window and like steal her, we bowed out of the sex education curriculum. My son's was like 2 hours and didn't talk about that. So the girls' experience this weekend, their moms were telling me how much of it was focused on HIV. These girls are 10 years old. They are just learning about sex. They're just learning about their bodies, and we are talking to them about HIV and other STDs. I think it's really inappropriate. I think it's incredibly, incredibly inappropriate. Now, I don't think the conversation around STDs or even human trafficking is an inappropriate conversation. It's a very appropriate conversation, but not for a 10-year-old. First thing, you want to lay the foundation of what their bodies are so that they feel connected to their bodies. They feel knowledgeable about their bodies, perhaps even, yeah, just knowledgeable and connected. Then you lay the framework of like, this is a good thing. Sex is a good thing. It feels good. You also say the reality of like, you can get pregnant, right? Like, that is also a thing. But not at 10. At 10, you do not go into, well, you do go until you could get pregnant, but you don't go into STDs and rape and all of these things. Not at 10-year-olds. You might have a very different opinion than me. Because of course, 10-year-olds get raped, and that is a thing in our world. I just don't think that that is an appropriate avenue. Like, I don't think school is an appropriate person to talk to your kids about that. I don't think that's appropriate time for you to talk to your kids about that. I don't think that if your kid knew about rape and then got raped at 10, that it would make it any better. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to make it any better that they knew about it ahead of time and then it happened to them. It will, however, if all of those girls aren't going to be raped and they hear about rape at the age of 10, make sex seem a little bit scary. Make sex seem a little bit like dark. And again, there is dark and scary sides of sex, but you don't have to tell that to a 10-year-old. That is a conversation for a different emotional age maturity. So again, I think then the conversation in the teens, probably 13, 14, 15, then becomes about STDs. Then perhaps you introduce some rape. Perhaps you talk about human trafficking. I don't even know. But it's like this thing because they have the ability now to have a little bit more nuance. They have a little bit ability to hold more and not shut down. And so sex education in schools, I am astounded by it. I even had someone once email me and want to start a program with me of doing the puberty class and sex education and fertility plan or fertility mapping and things like that, like natural family planning methods in middle school. Or no, did you say, yeah, sixth graders, middle school. And I said, absolutely not. No way. Most of those girls aren't even going to get their periods for years anyways. Like a lot of them are going to get them in middle school, but not all of them. And they're not going to be able to map their fertility right then. Again, not a bad school, not a bad skill to learn, just an inappropriate age, in my opinion. And so that's what I wanted to record this podcast to. My opinion of age-appropriate conversations around sex. My grounding, my focus is always that sex is a life force, just like life. So it should be part of conversations. It should never not be part of conversations, but there's a time and a place and a layering of the conversation and a grounding in your personal values around sex with an opening for your child to explore the conversation with you and what they're seeing in their friends, because they might not be seeing it as a sacred thing. But I can think at least that since I've grounded that idea in from a very early age with my kids, that they do see it as a sacred thing. They also see it as a pleasure thing, right? It is part of their lives as teenagers. It's not yet, but it will be eventually. Eventually they're going to start having sex, right? So hopefully this has been a helpful conversation. Please let me know if you have questions. You are more than welcome, as always, to reach out to me at hello@powerfulpuberty.com. You can also leave a comment. I would love that. You can please, please, please share this podcast with your friends. It is a very new podcast. There's a whole lot of noise out there in the world. If you found any of these episodes helpful, then please tell your mama friends that it exists so I can continue to explore what you all are bringing to my awareness, what questions you all have, and we continue this conversation. Thanks, everyone. Bye.